morning. I'm hoping if I talk for just a second, people out in the foyer will hear me. See there? I knew. Dina, thank you. How's everybody this morning? Glad that you are worshiping with us. I want to also welcome our live stream crew. You ready to worship?
Yes.
All right, if you will pray with me. Father, we exalt your holy name. I pray, God, for everyone that's right now in this room and everyone at home, we get a taste of your Holy Spirit. You would well up inside of us, God, that we're, if we're honest, probably kind of tired. Lots of moving parts in our world right now, but Jesus, you said that you've overcome the world. So come, send your Holy Spirit. May the name of Jesus be in high and lifted up. Surprise us with your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise as we worship.
I am resolved no longer to leave.
I'm
children up here to the front as Corrine has.
Hey guys. Here we are. Oh, hey Ollie. Who are you?
You didn't know I was getting
there. No, you didn't get, I didn't know you were getting there fast. All right. Okay. Hi. How are you, Ivy? Good to see you. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? All right. Well, I'm excited that you're here today. All right. Are you excited to be here? Yes. All right. So I have a question for you this morning, okay? So if you were standing in line for ice cream, and there was a lot of people standing there waiting to get ice cream, would you want to be first or last?
First.
That's right.
They can get,
I think most people, but they can get your ice cream faster. I think most people like to be first, right? But is everybody always first?
No.
Is somebody always have to be like second and third and maybe last? Yeah, that's
sometimes.
Right. Even when you're on a team and you win, you're number one, right?
Yeah.
So being number one is really
so
great,
when
right?
When you race and somebody yeah. else finished the first.
Yeah.
And nobody else.
That's right.
The first
That's
winner.
Right. So this morning, I'm going to give you, Miss Teresa and I are going to give you a piece of paper. Do not open this piece of paper, okay? Just hold on to it until I tell you to open it, okay? And if you'll pass some back for me, please. Ready, Grayson? Here you go. All right. Everybody got a number? There you go. Got a number? Who didn't get a number? You need a number? Oh, you need a number? Okay, everybody got a number. Hold your number up. Everybody got your number? Okay. Now, I don't know what number you're going to get, so I want you to open up and tell me what number you got. Okay.
I got number one.
Who got number one? Did everybody get number one?
I got number one.
Oh, are we all going to be first then?
Yeah.
Did you get number one? That's... You know where I'm going, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate yeah. So there is a reason
Watch
that everybody
this.
Has a number
it's
one, okay?
Like,
yeah,
this.
Okay, just a second, okay? It's because, the reason we all have number one, it's because to God, we all are number one. He loves us so much. He thinks you're the best, and you're the best, and you're the best, and you're the best, and you're the best. We're the best. We are number one in God's eyes. Isn't it amazing? Did you think about that? That God puts us first in everything. God loves us so much. He loves each one of us that He sent Jesus to die on the cross just for you and 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 you. For all of us, didn't he? So we are number one to God all the time. Even if we do things wrong, we're still number one to God, aren't we? Are you glad that you're always number one with God?
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you're last getting ice cream, you can know that you are number one to God all the time. Are y'all thankful for that?
Yes.
Okay, so take this piece of paper with you this week. Kind of put it somewhere and remember that you're number one to God. Can y'all do that for me? Okay, so we're number one to God. So who are we number one with?
God.
God, that's right. So let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that we are all number one with you and that you love us so much and that you did send your son Jesus for each one of us, Lord, and that you care so much about what's going on in each one of our lives, Lord. And we thank you that your love is perfect. And I thank you as we move through this day that you will bless us and give us wisdom and direction, Lord. Thank you for these boys and girls. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go this way. Here, Eli.
Did you guys know y'all are number one? A few couple of announcements. Tonight is the night for our Exalt service, citywide, actually big countrywide worship service will be at 6 p.m. tonight at First Baptist Church, which is a neat deal. They we've got something a little bit different this year for our Exalt service. We are having a, I think they are anticipating around 100 people in a choir. So that's going to be different. I think that'll be kind of cool. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that. Also wanted to remind the men, February the 25th and 26th, the Men's Summit at Luters. You can register for that event through our app or through our website, or you can let Billy know that you are interested in finding out more about that. If you are able to rise as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Before we go to a time of prayer, you know, if you saw my email from Friday, you know, those are not my favorite sort of emails to put out. Many of you knew Devin Coffey. Devin and Renee joined our church just a little over a year ago. Devin had struggled. I did not know this until after the fact. Devin had struggled with some mental illness and committed suicide Thursday, probably, Eric. So I want to say a few things about that, and then the very next day, Jason Acevedo, another member of our church, one of his dear friends in Austin, committed suicide. You know, I've done 20 plus years, done a lot of different sort of funerals and seen a lot of different types of grief, but in my opinion, nothing can measure up to the grief comes from the results of suicide. You know, a few things, you know, nobody likes to talk about this stuff, but I tell you, it just seems like the enemy is having his way with too many people during these troubled times that we find ourselves in. You know, and I was telling the early service just, our family had some stuff, some struggles the last few weeks, and just being for me, you have. And by the way, I'm well. It's okay. You can be around me. I actually asked my doctor this morning, and he said I'm good. So you can not be afraid of that. But you know, just being quarantined for 10 days or so while you're waiting for this virus to pass. I can see how people kind of struggle. You know, there's all sorts of different things going on. First of all, let me just say that if you're struggling, I love you. This church loves you. God loves you. Please, please, please seek me out or someone out, as we want to help you if you're struggling. I get angry at the devil he's a liar, but I also get angry sometimes the stuff that comes out of the church. I've heard this, some of you may have been taught this growing up, is that suicide is the unforgivable sin. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. Jesus understands that we struggle. He understands mental illness. He understands that this life is difficult. That's why he hung on a cross. Devin had professed Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I believe that his struggle is over. I believe he no longer suffers from mental illness. Renee, his wife, please be in prayer for Renee. She's doing pretty good. She's with a friend in Sweetwater and staying there for a little while. Our church has tried to step in and meet some physical needs for her. Many of you have asked, you know, what you can do. Right now, just pray for Renee. And I know that we have people in our church and in our community that were close to Devin and that are hurting. So just pray for that situation. And as any needs come up, food or anything like that, I will communicate that to the church. You know, this life is hard. And these sort of things are not, they're not pleasant. They're not pleasant to deal with. But Jesus has overcome the world. I honestly don't know how anybody makes it in this world without Jesus. I want to just please again, if anyone is struggling in any way, that's not the answer. And you have people that love you that want to step in and be with you. I want to lift up Renee. I want to lift up you in this time. So if you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, your word says that you draw near to the brokenhearted. And we don't understand. We have questions, Lord. We know you are the answer. You are the truth and the life. Father, we specifically lift up Renee to you and all those that love Devin. I thank you, Lord, that you hung on a cross for Devin. I thank you that he had professed you as Lord and Savior. We need you, Lord. In these trying times, we need you. But even when things are going perfectly, we need you. You draw near to the brokenhearted, and you are the Prince of Peace, and you're the God of all comfort. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Even in the midst of loss and grief, great is your faithfulness. Father, if there's anyone right now in this place or in any home that's listening, that's struggling, Father, it would be our privilege to be your hands and feet, to be your shoulder that can be leaned on. What a privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. We pray, oh God, that you would move, that you would heal hearts. I pray in the strong name of Jesus, I pray against the enemy, the lies, his filthy, disgusting lies. We pray in the name of Jesus against those things. I pray against the spirit of suicide. That Father, that you would raise up life in place of that spirit. In the midst of loss, in the midst of uncertainty, we trust you. We pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, invite you to bring your offering to the offering plates up at the front, or you can also give online or through our app.
And I invite you to stand together as we sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the game I count by.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through the app. Also, if you are visiting with us this morning, there is a guest card in the chair pocket in front of you. If you want to leave us a record of your visits, you can do that. We're honored that you would choose Wiley Methodist as your place of worship this morning. You can either leave those in your seat, drop those off in the offering plate, or our pastor will be out by the main entrance after the service. You can give that to him and visit with him. He has a free gift, he always says. So, free gift, Jeff? He left. I guess he'll be back, I'm assuming. Also, right after the service, we are baptizing Sutton Casey. Yes? Thumbs up back there, Casey family? Shepherd family. Yep, we're doing that right after the service. Y'all be sure to hang around and celebrate that with us. I think some of you know that I spent almost 24 years with the Abilene Fire Department serving the citizens of Abilene, and I tell people it was one of the greatest jobs in the world. You know, I got to the point 15 years ago that I was just kind of tired. I was burnt out of seeing people hurt, seeing people hurting, making poor decisions. I left actually earlier than I really had planned on doing. And anyway, I was out of the fire service about 4 years, and God called me into ministry, and guess what? I get to see people hurting all the time. So anyway, it kind of came full circle. But man, it was just a great job, a great group of men and a few women, and I built some really strong, lasting relationships with some of those men. And one of those men is Eddie Crane. Eddie is a good brother in the Lord. And Eddie used to play softball with our Baptist church's softball team, which was no big deal. Eddie was came from a Church of Christ background, so a bunch of us Baptist boys and Eddie. And, you know, we typically tried to pray either before a practice, after a practice, before a game, or after a game. And sometimes we'd ask Eddie to pray, but we wanted to make sure he prayed to the right Jesus if he prayed. You know, we had some fun with that. But I love Eddie. We had a good man of God. Well, there was this one season that started, and after practice, we were going to go back to our church, and we were going to try on jerseys for that year, and we were going to get those made up with numbers put on them. And so I'm not really sure how this worked out, but Eddie and I were in the same vehicle together, and we were going to be the last ones back at the church. And they told us, now when you get to the church, come to this double door, and that'll be unlocked, and you can come inside, try on your jersey. And so on the way over there, I told Eddie, I said, Eddie, look, now when you get there, you're going to have to pull your shoes off before you go in the building because it's holy ground. And so that was a joke, by the way. Anyway, he said, yeah, right. So anyway, we get there, and we walk up to this door, and much to my surprise, there's 10 or 11 pairs of softball shoes sitting outside that door. I was just as surprised as he was, and I stole a glance at Eddie. And he had this look on his face. This is a cult. I knew it. I should have bailed out years ago. Well, come to find out, they'd waxed the floors that day, and they wanted to make sure we didn't track up the newly waxed floors. But man, I love Eddie. He and I were talking to another firefighter about the Lord one day, and this gentleman asked some really good questions. I don't think he'd ever been to church. And he said, hey, I want to go, but I don't know where to start. I mean, there's so many different churches. There's so many different denominations. Where do I go? I mean, that's a great question, right? If somebody's seeking and doesn't know where to go to church. And I didn't really want to point him in the Baptist direction. Eddie didn't really want to point him in the Church of Christ direction. And so I was trying to formulate a response. And then Eddie blurted out something that was really poor advice. He said, read the book of Acts, and then go find you a church that looks like that church. And as Eddie said that, which it really should have been good advice, right? And as he said that, I'm thinking, he's not going to find a church, not in Abilene, Texas anyway. And I don't know where he landed. I never talked to him again. He retired, and I retired. But you know, that should be good advice, right? And he would probably walk away being confused, because if he read the book of Acts, I mean, he would see some things that, man, that church was on fire. Radical. The power of God was moving in incredible ways. And you know, there, as I say that, there's some really good churches in our nation, really good churches in this community. This is a really good church. It really is. But if we're going to read the book of Acts, and okay, does Wiley... Can I go to Wiley Methodist and it looked like that church? Now, out of all fairness, you know, the church in that day really can't be duplicated in our day. I mean, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. The leadership was incredibly anointed. Peter and John and James, the half-brother of Jesus, Paul later on in, 20 years later or so after Pentecost. And man, incredibly anointed leadership. I mean, there were situations where people were bringing the sick out into the street, hoping that Peter would walk by, just maybe perhaps his shadow would land on that sick person and they would be healed. How crazy is that? And then Paul, later on in Acts, maybe chapter 18 or 19, somewhere in there, that they would bring handkerchiefs to him. Now, I don't know what he did when handkerchiefs were brought to him. Typically, I blow my nose if I have a handkerchief, right? I don't know if Paul did that. I don't know if they carried that away with holy snot on it or whatever, but they would lay that on the people's bodies and they would be healed. That's crazy to think about that. So the power of God was flowing mightily. We don't really see that in our day. And then something else, I think, if he read the book of Acts and went and looked for a church, something he might see that's also maybe perhaps waned or missing is the passion of the people. Now, again, I love this church. I love you. But I think the church as a whole could be more passionate. I see some heads nodding. Now, this is another one of those very fun sermons. I don't know why God does this to me. He just gives me these things to God, let somebody else preach that. You know, why is it always me? You know, I'm. It'll be challenging. I'm challenged by it. This is not an apology. It's a disclaimer. There is a difference, and I do love you. This is one of those I love Billy Crim moments, but we're not going to do that. So the sermon title this morning is the Acts 2:42 church. I want to look at that church. I want to see what the people were about, what their heart was about, and see how we compare, not that we need to compare ourselves to other believers, but see how the church in our day looked versus the church in that first century. So I want to pray before I do that. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be together in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Wiley Methodist Church. God, I just thank you for the people that are here. And Lord, you're doing something unique in this fellowship, and you're using us for your glory. Father, I just thank you for the unity that we experience when we're together. Father, there's no agendas. Lord, that's so refreshing. Father, we don't want to take that for granted, God. We want to pray into that continue. And so, Lord, just continue to bless this church, bless the churches of Jesus Christ in this city that claim Jesus as Lord. Use the church for your glory and help us, Holy Spirit, to walk more deeply with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look at Acts 2:42. See what the church was about. They were continually devoting themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they were devoted to these four things. Let me give you a definition of devoted in the Greek. And devoted means that they were committed, for one thing. In our day, I think we would say they were all in. If you look at the original Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any way, I do have a concordance. Those are cheap to buy. They're actually free online. But if you look at that word committed or being committed to or committing to something, that word actually means to lay siege against something. Now, I've shared this a couple of times, but laying siege is a military term that for centuries, an army, when they attacked another country or come up against a city, of course, that city was fortified. There were walls around it, gates that would allow people to come and go. And they would surround that, they would cut off the food supply, they would cut off the water supply, and they tried to starve the people out. And on occasion, I guess the archers would lob arrows into that city, and the Bible mentions war machines that may have been catapults that they would launch boulders into that city. But for the most part, their tactic was, we're going to surround this city no matter how long it takes, and we're going to starve the people to where they can't defend themselves. Then we're coming over the wall or breaching the gates, and it wasn't a good thing for the people that were inside. And that was their tactic. Now, in the, I think the book of 2 Kings, the Assyrian army came up against Samaria, which was the capital of the northern part of that kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, nation of Israel. And they lay siege against that city. It took 3 years for them to overthrow that city. So as we look at these things, look at the things that the people were devoted to, let's think in terms of that. I mean, they were laying siege against these things. They were committed to it. You know, I'm not going to quit doing this until Jesus takes me home, basically. So there were four things they were committed to or devoted to. The first one is the word. Is the word or the apostles' teaching. Now, in that day, people didn't have Bibles. They didn't have copies of Scripture. That appears to me that the copies of the law and the prophets, maybe the Psalms, were housed in the temple area, or they were housed in synagogues. And so the young Jewish men would go to synagogue school, so they would memorize parts of Scripture. And then they would go to synagogue on Sunday, and they would read from the scrolls. You remember that Jesus went into a synagogue. He pulled out the scroll of Isaiah and read what we know as Isaiah 61. And so the people's exposure to the word was that, or the apostles' teaching. And the apostles taught the teachings of Jesus along with whatever revelation that they received from the Holy Spirit. But they were devoted to that. They were devoted to that. Now in our day, we receive instruction, words from the pulpit. Jeff does an awesome word preaching, awesome job preaching God's word here. There's pastors all over the nation. We can watch those online. We can listen to podcasts. We have incredible exposure to the Word of God. We've got a resource here that's incredible, incredibly valuable. And I believe because I can't come to any other conclusion that we can trust what's in these pages. Now, I know there's some more current translations we really need to stay away from. They've taken gender out of their description of who God is. But I think for the most part, we can trust this book. We can trust the Word of God. You know, there may be some debate as to whether all of it's inspired. You know, it's some people are having a difficult time embracing the fact that when the Bible was given through men, somebody wrote it down 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, or whatever, that when it ended up in these pages, that we can actually trust it, that the translation is accurate. Well, church, I have to approach it as if it is. And let's say portions of it is not. Let's say that it's not, that they missed it along the way somewhere. Well, who is the expert on pointing those out? W.A. Criswell made a statement one time about the Bible being inspired, and he said, if the Bible's inspired in spots, then we have to be inspired to spot those spots. That kind of makes sense? So for me, I embrace this as God's Word. And we have this incredible resource. Are we devoted to it? Or are we devoted to the Word? You know, I'm not boasting when I say this, but I try to read God's Word every day. And I told you it takes me 14 or 15 months to read through the Bible or do my one-year reading plan. I mean, there's some days I just don't get it done. And I try to read through the Bible once a year. And I'm on my eighth or ninth lap reading God's Word. And I'm in Genesis again. I just started 2 weeks ago, and I'm not boasting about this. I'm so undisciplined that if I don't have a reading plan, I don't get it done. But I'm in Genesis again. I'm in the 12th chapter, and these stories, I know them, I've read them, I've heard them, I've been taught them as a kid. But you know, when I pick up God's Word in the mornings, and I read it off my cell phone, but when I read it, I can't tell you that it does something inside of me. Because you see, this is the only book that's ever been written, and I've Googled how many books have been written, 60 plus million the only one that's alive, the only one that's active, the only one that can pierce down deep beyond the joints and the marrow of a man to the soul of a person or the soul of a man or a woman. It's the only resource out there that can make that claim. Now, does anybody take the Abilene Reporter news? They throw it in your yard in the mornings. Anybody still do that? Yes, ma'am. What do you do after you read your newspaper? What do you do with a newspaper?
Give it to my sister.
What does your sister do with it?
I don't know what she does.
You know, years ago, when I was a kid, they had a morning and an evening edition, and it made, we didn't have plastic bags, it made really good trash can liners. And why do we do that? Why do we not hang on to it? Why don't we reread that? The reason we don't do that is, church, there's no life in that newspaper. I mean, there may be some things in there that help us, that point us to the cross, that point us to Scripture, but for the most part, it's just information. Anybody take magazine subscriptions, monthly subscriptions? Okay, they send new copies every month for you guys. Okay, why do they do that? Why don't we just reread that one edition? Because, church, there's no life in it. I mean, it can help us. And I'm not saying let's don't read stuff. Keep taking your magazine subscription, please, Joe. But there's no life in it. This is the only book that's ever been written that's alive. Are we devoted to it? Are we devoted to it? Everybody okay? Say amen if you're okay. All right, good. Second thing that they were devoted to is fellowship. Fellowship. Adrian Rogers said one time, Adrian Rogers, a Baptist pastor gone on to be with the Lord, he said, fellowship is more than just two fellows on the same ship. Thought that was good. If we look at the original Greek here again, one more time, the word here is koinonia, which it's this deep, intimate relationship that we have with other people. And I'm going to do the best I can to share this, and that where it comes out of my mouth as it's G-rated. It's the same intimacy that takes place when a husband and a wife are in the marriage bed, and children are the product of that. I mean, it's that deep of a word. It's this intimacy that they were pursuing with one another. They were bearing one another's burdens. They were fulfill the law of Christ. And I believe when one of them were hurting, this is out of Scripture, that all of them were hurt. I mean, Renee Coffey is hurting today. And do we hurt with her? Do we really hurt with her? When one person was honored, they all rejoiced over that honor. There wasn't any jealousy among them. They had this intimate relationship with other believers that they were pursuing. They were devoted to that. They were passionate about that. You know, we have those opportunities in our church for that to happen. Also, you know, that can happen outside of our church. I've been with groups of other men in the past that's helped me walk a better walk. They've helped me allowed me to be accountable to some people. They helped me raise my kids, basically, praying for situations. I didn't really have any issues with our daughter. Our son was a little different story, but I love him too. And if he was here, I'd have said just the opposite, by the way, just to let you know. But they were committed to that. They were devoted to being in intimate relationships with one another. Is that our heart as well? The third thing they were devoted to is the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. Now, this could mean either communion, Holy Communion, or it could have meant them just doing life together, partaking in meals together. In the fourth chapter of Acts, it said that they broke bread together from house to house. So it's almost like they were just friends. They were hanging out together. Now, the people I hang out with outside of the church is kind of my business, right? And the same with you. The same with you. But I think we need to gather around us people that will encourage us, you know, to walk a little firmer in our faith, to be more committed maybe in our faith. And this doesn't mean that we don't associate with unbelievers. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 that we're not to hang around with a so-called brother who is not walking the walk or talking the talk. He said, don't associate with that person. But then he says, I'm not telling you not to associate with the people of the world. I mean, how else are they going to know that Jesus loves them unless we tell them or show them? Man, they just love being together. You know, we're a church, we just love being together. I love being here on Wednesday nights, and 120 people we feed on Wednesday nights in the fellowship hall, and it's just good. It's just good to be together, laugh together. They did that. They did life together. So they were devoted to the word, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the last thing they were devoted to is prayer. Prayer. I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you in here this morning are praying too much? Raise your hand if you're praying too much. Okay. Thought that might be the case. So another question, how many of you have hit the sweet spot in prayer? It's almost like, okay, I prayed, boy, I'm just, I know I prayed all I needed to. And the Holy Spirit's moving, convicting, and putting this person on my heart, so I stop and I pray, and man, I've hit the sweet spot. Anybody? Now, I know there's a couple ladies in our church, I'm not going to point them out, and they're probably overdoing it in prayer. I'm just going to say that. And I love you, you're just so weird, I don't understand that. But I think most of us maybe struggle in that area, myself included. These people were devoted to prayer. It's almost, I think about that laying siege against something. It's almost like I've got this wayward child. I've got this grandchild. I've got this loved one that's away from the Lord. And I'm going to lay siege against that issue that needs prayer. And I'm devoted to that. And I'm not going to quit praying until I see victory or until Jesus takes me home. You know, those soldiers that surrounded those cities, they just didn't get tired and pack up and go home. They were committed. They were all in. Is that our story? Is that my story? You know, Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, awesome man of God, went to the Brooklyn Tabernacle in 1971. And there were 20 to 30 people there, really a struggling church, dying church in a real difficult area of Brooklyn. And he struggled. He said that he was young and green. I read this. These comments come from his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, that I read a number of years ago. And he said that they were struggling. Financially, they were struggling. They just weren't doing any ministry. He said his sermons were terrible. He said, I used to fall asleep during my own sermons. They were so bad. And he didn't know what to do, but they started praying. And so they set aside one night a week to pray. And now it's Tuesday nights. I'm not sure when it was then. So they just decided to pray. They didn't know anything else to do. So I guess if we don't know what to do, prayer is a good thing, right? A good response to that. And so they started praying. About 6 months into that prayer effort, their church treasurer on a prayer night goes down the altar, begins to weep, and confesses that he had been stealing money from the church. I don't think they pursued charges on him, but they, you know, prayer just unlocked that. And all of a sudden, financially, they were doing a lot better. This Tuesday night, I'm assuming, I don't know with situations in that area, Brooklyn area, as far as what they can do because of COVID issues, but they'll have 2,000 plus people on a Tuesday night come to their prayer meeting. And that's been going on for years. I mean, 2,000 people coming just to pray and worship the Lord. That's, it's radical. It probably shouldn't be, but it is. Now, he made a statement in his book, and so if you don't be mad at me, is what I'm trying to say, okay? You can find Jim Symbol on the internet, and so I'm sure you can email him or something like that. But here's a statement that he made that really challenged me. He said, you can tell how popular a Christian rock band is by how many people come to the concert. And we'll pay $30, $40, $50 to go see Third Day. And I think Zach Williams is coming in a couple of months. I like Zach Williams. I may go see Zach Williams. That's not a bad thing. He made the statement that you can tell how popular the preacher is by who shows up on Sunday mornings. And it's not about the preacher, but, you know, that's a big deal on Sunday mornings, about pastors in their pulpits preaching the Word of God. And then he said, and again, if this offends, don't be upset with me. He said, you can tell how popular Jesus is by who shows up at the prayer meeting. Now, and that doesn't necessarily mean the corporate prayer meeting. It could mean our prayer closets. You know, are we devoted to prayer? Could things change if we're not? Could things change if we were? You know, we've been praying in the 2 Chronicles 7:14 for several years. And that's a promise that if we'll do these things, God will heal our land. And I'm not saying that God's not moving us and stirring and things are happening. Things are moving that direction. God's always faithful. It's my conviction that more prayer, more power, more prayer, more movement of God. Are we devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to His Word? Are we devoted to fellowship and breaking bread together? Now church, again, I love you, and we're making an impact in this community. I know we are. About the things that God has given us to do. I love our Mother's Day Out program. My goodness, it's just so, it's just a breath of fresh air for those parents. Doing good work there. You know, that's a safe place for them to drop their kiddos off on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, we just got a lot of good things going on. But could we do more? Could we do more? I think God always wants us to do more. And he's so good just to love us through that. Sometimes he just kind of pushes us a little bit this direction and that direction so we can bring more glory and honor to him. I'm convinced that God wants to use this church and the churches of Jesus Christ in our community to transform our community on a deep, deep level. And I think it starts with the devotion of his people. The praise team, come up, please. I want to remind you, after this worship song, we'll be baptizing Sutton, Casey. So you please stick around as we celebrate that together. Pray with me. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us. And you are such a gracious and merciful, loving Father, and Lord, it's almost like you're just trying to raise us. I know us parents, we want the best for our children, and so we make decisions and we raise them up to be adults. And Lord, it's almost like you're doing that with us. So I thank you for those times, Lord, that you maybe send a little correction in our life. Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be your servants, Lord, as we're your children as well. And Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for the unity that we share. So, Lord, as we continue to pursue you, Lord, just use us for your glory. Father, I just thank you for Sutton, Casey, and Lord, I thank you for touching his heart and stirring him. And Lord, us. Thank you for salvation. Oh, you're such a good, good Father. And we love you and thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll worship and then we'll have a baptism.
Casey family, you guys, come on up. Sutton, you want to come right across over there, buddy? Just, if you'll stand on that section right over there. We'll wait for mom and dad and sisters, grandparents. Did you bring a crew with you today, man? All right. Y'all, they can see through a camera, so y'all can come right in front here. All right. Is that it? Is that it? Okay. Okay. You can pull her over in here with you. When you're done.
Don't give him any ideas.
Okay. All right. Sutton, we have visited about what's happening today, right? All right. You ready to do this? Okay. We talked about that word sin and how all of us are sinners and we need Jesus to forgive us. So do you admit that you are a sinner? Amen. Do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you want to be... have him live inside of you and be your Lord and your Savior. Amen. You want to be baptized? All right. Have a seat right there, my man. We got one coming.
Okay.
There we go. I want you to miss out. Okay. If you'll hold your nose, Sutton. Sutton, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. All right. Remember we talked about how God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And I'm going to pray for him to do that, okay? If y'all can... if you can't reach him, reach somebody in front of you and just put a hand on him. on then. There we go. Lord, I thank you for Sutton. I thank you, God. You, as Carlene said today, he is number one in your eyes. You love him so dearly. You hung on a cross for him. You saved him. And Lord, thank you that he has said yes to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and you would live inside of him, that he would be a brand new creation, God, that you would raise him up in the years to come. He would be a mighty warrior for you. Bless this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Billy?
Well, church, God bless you. Pray that your day is blessed. If you want to meet with our pastor, if you're a guest with us, you can meet him out by the main entrance. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he loves you and he wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.